How's your week been, dude?
It's been good. Been good. Still, it's only Tuesday, but we are gonna have a cool meeting tonight with the men of our church.
Okay.
It's gonna be like an instructional thing for how to lead communion with your family.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's so it's like you're discipling people.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
What? What's that all about?
Yeah.
Dude, I've been watching some of your videos, man. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I
What
really appreciate that.
made you start wanting to do that? Just something to do, or?
I've been thinking a lot about how to be effective in ministry right now during this very unique
Yeah.
situation. And realize that missionaries like me, there's like a lack of a voice in some ways, and then there's a lack of community in other ways.
Absolutely.
So I want to be a source of voice and community for missionaries, basically, with this
That's
podcast.
awesome. That's easy enough. That's a simple enough. Dude,
And so
that's
obviously, it's led to some very, very interesting conversations, not just with missionaries, but also with locals.
Yeah. I haven't got to watch all of them, but I was on your YouTube yesterday. I watched like portions of a bunch of them,
Cool.
not like all 6 hours of it or whatever. All the different ones. But they look great.
So I'm gonna say hi to the camera and then, we'll get started.
Get it.
Hey everyone, my name is David Sneed. I'm a missionary in Lviv, Ukraine, and this is my friend Andy. And just want to say hi, bro. How you doing?
What's up? I'm wonderful.
That's
It's
good to hear.
early here, so I got my cold brew in hand.
Yeah.
Cold brew coffee. I don't want to stress anybody out there.
Yeah, I forget that that's a confusing thing for some people. I'm like way into the third wave, maybe into fourth wave, but yeah, I guess not everybody would know what cold brew coffee is. So tell us about cold brew coffee and then
Oh, dude,
yourself and what you do.
it's just coffee that's brewed cold.
There you go. There you go.
That's as simple as it is, but I'm kind of a sucker for your really fancy quality over quantity. I'd rather have one good cup of coffee a week than mediocre
Yeah.
coffee every day. So that's just, but I hear you got some good coffee in Lviv. I haven't been to visit you yet, but my guys tell me you got some stuff on tap there.
Dude, and now I have a roaster friend here
What?
that like I'm drinking like 2,200 meters, which I don't know how high that is in feet, but like this
Yeah.
really, really high origin coffee that's like
Come on.
fruity and sweet and a little bit of sour, and it's like yeah, so I
Just
know what
gets
you
you
need,
right
dude.
in all the
Yeah,
feels.
I wasn't a coffee nut until I moved to the Ukraine coffee city, and then once
Dude.
I got here and I realized like, well, that's actually pretty good, a
Yeah,
nice to...
it'll change your life, man.
Yeah, so
It's
tell us a
great.
little bit about what you do and how to get in touch with you
Yeah.
online.
Yeah, so well, my name's Andy and I lead a missions organization called the Jesus Mission, and it started because I was in a traveling rock band for about 15 years. It started in 2006 and it didn't end in 2019, but I just stopped touring as hard the last year because the ministry has kind of shape-shifted. That's the wrong word. It's grown. It's changed
Yeah,
a
yeah, yeah,
lot.
yeah.
And so my band, the New Divide, would just travel the world playing music and helping local churches share the gospel. And we'd play in bars and clubs and street corners and wherever we could just to proclaim the gospel audibly. But then also we loved to come alongside any local church we could as we were traveling and just help push it forward. If that was leading worship at its service or teaching or helping clean the toilets, whatever it was, like if we could push the church forward, we were going to do that. And so we started a ministry called the Jesus Mission in the beginning so that our band, my band, the New Divide, could raise the money we needed to go do that because we needed the legal infrastructure to be support raising and doing that kind of stuff and giving donors their receipts. So we started the Jesus Mission. We figured the mission of Christ is simple enough. Like, let's just call it what it is. Like,
Yeah,
he
amen.
came to seek and save the lost. So that mission should become ours. And so we called it a Jesus Mission. We started going. And then as we went, we just kept finding more and more of our friends that needed some sort of infrastructure or other bands we knew or musicians who wanted to be a part of something like that. And it's just changed and grown into what it is today, which is essentially just us and a random crew of people we have, like, pushing as many missionaries forward with the gospel to go to proclaim the gospel as possible. And so it's been really stinking cool. So that's what I do. And you asked how to find me. Well, you've got the old Instagram and Facebook and all those things. I'm sure you tagged me in Facebook here already, but
yeah, it'll all be in the description below. So
it's all below. But JesusMission.org is where you can find the missions organization. So it's really simple. Keep it in one spot.
Just to give a little background as to how you and I know each other, I want to tell everybody that.
Yeah, contextualize this thing.
Just kind of randomly, actually, a friend of mine who's a missions pastor, or not a missions pastor, a worship pastor in Colorado said, "Hey, my son's in this band called Final Greetings." But the really funny part was the email that he sent, the subject was Final Greetings. And that was the entire subject. So I was like, what in
this
the world
is this? This is it, David.
Like, yeah, it's like, it's the end of the world for you or something like, yeah, something like that. So, but he said, like, he's got this band, you know, and they want to come to Ukraine and they'd like to stop in Lviv and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. And it turned out to be like this band, Final Greetings, and y'all's team was literally, I think, the best team that we have ever had. I've been here for almost 10 years. Wow. And we've had all kinds of teams, great ones, and, you know, some that we don't really like to talk about sometimes. But this one was amazing. They wanted to serve. They wanted to grow. They endured hardship. They, you know, problem solved. It was just awesome. So I believe in a Jesus mission, and I think you guys are doing a great thing.
That's awesome. That's cool. That's so good to hear. I love those guys. Yeah. If you haven't yet seen Final Greetings, you can find them online too. They're just fantastic. Just dirty rock and rollers, but they love the local church and they love you. They've spoken so highly of you too, David. If you're watching this, and I've never spent much time no time at all in person with David, but just to speak highly of you as well, the band came back. They were like, of all the places we've ever gone in the whole world, David Sneed was the most, like, that guy had it all together for the events, for everything. So they spoke just as highly of you. So
praise the Lord. Thank
how
you.
Cool is that? Getting to work with like-minded, stable people.
how many teams do y'all have? Like, how many bands, I should say?
Yeah. There's three full-time bands that travel. So there's a band called Good Friday. They're from Portland, Oregon, right here around me. And they travel the U.S. a lot. They were planning to come to Europe this fall, but we'll see how the governments allow us to do whatever it is we're doing.
Yeah.
We just got to roll with the punches. So. But Good Friday is a band from Portland, Oregon. Down in Southern California, we have a band called Small Giants. All of these bands, they chose names with two words, and they all have a G in one of them. So it becomes incredibly, you just stumble over your words trying to spit them all out. And then Final Greetings, they're a hodgepodge of from. So they don't really have a spot they call home, I think. They land in Portland a lot, Portland, Oregon, but one of them's from Budapest, one of them's from Georgia, one of them's from California, one of them's from Portland. They're all over. So there's three full-time bands that play music. It's pretty cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. Cool.
Tell us about the big monstrous team that was supposed to come over. This is kind of leading into the next question. How has the situation changed? But, like, what were you guys planning on doing before COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2? Attacked the world, basically, you know.
Before the world was attacked.
Yes.
Well, my heart has always been for Europe. Like, my first exposure to Europe was in 2010, when I actually came over with a youth group from Seattle that was doing an outreach in Seattle or Paris, France. And so I got to come on that with my band, The New Divide, and we just, our eyes were open to the ginormous need in Europe. For the gospel. It was one of our first exposures to an overseas trip as our band with all of us and stuff. And so that really just lit our hearts on fire for Europe. And so continually over the years, my band would keep coming every, like, it got to, I think some years we came three or four times a year to Europe from America just to do events, do outreaches, do concerts, even if it was short little things, we'd just come over. And so our plan for this year, and we actually, God put together an incredible team of people to help organize, like there's some phenomenal like administration happening and all this preparation. And but it was strange because over the last few months we felt there's been all these weird resistances, like things just not working like you're planning, and you're like, man, God, we got the right people in play. Like it's not like we're delegating responsibilities poorly. Like, why is this so difficult? Well, we were intending, and we will still do this, not maybe this summer, we'll see how, we're just everything like the rest of the world is just kind of on pause. But
yeah.
The intent is to bring a crew of people, specifically musicians, and do essentially a pop-up tour that can come into town, set up a tour, do a huge gospel proclaiming outreach event, specifically alongside churches or cities that maybe don't have that kind of thing frequently. Some of the bigger cities get festivals and stuff like that. We basically want to be a mini pop-up festival that can come into any city center, or even do it in a dirty bar in Southern Berlin or who knows where, just like wherever we could come in and set up, bring a team large enough that it demands attention. It says, oh, there's like four or five bands going on, or, and there's a stage and lights and the LED wall, the whole nine yards, like something effective at getting people's attention so we can proclaim the most important story in the history of the world to them. And so that was, we have a large team of people, really skilled people already working on this. But now it's just kind of in a, you know, it's like a plane coming in for a landing. It's just got to wait for a while. Like we're just kind of in a, what they called?
A holding pattern.
A holding pattern.
Yeah.
That's the word. That's the perfect word for all things functional, not functional ministry. That's the wrong word. All things that we're planning to do are just in a holding pattern, but that hasn't stopped ministry from happening, obviously, because all of those people are, I've had some cool calls with some of that team already this week that are just like, man, it makes sense now that it was so difficult, but like, we're getting so many cool opportunities to do gospel work right here in our cities until that time. So we're still coming for you. We're still coming for you.
Yeah, I can't wait to have you guys back. But that was also interesting for us. Like, I was like so pumped after that concert, but then I was like, this summer would be like, and this is before,
you know,
COVID-19, everything.
Yeah.
This summer was going to be like the hardest summer to have you guys on. And I'm like, what is going on? It's just not meshing at all. And then bam, you know, the world blows up with a virus.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So how are you guys continuing to do ministry right now?
That's a really, that question I could spend the next 4 hours on if we wanted, because it's really, there's so many people that are a part of a Jesus mission. Outside of even just the band ministry, a lot of missionaries that are sent overseas, as similar to like what you're doing, you're just there in the city, planting, working, settling in the spot God's called you to. We have a lot of missionaries like that in different spots. And so I've been hearing some of the reports and stories about how different people are continuing to do ministry. And essentially, the gospel is relational. That's the whole point of it. It is a restoration of a broken relationship. And so
that's good.
Just this opportunity to restore relationships that maybe have been broken for years because everybody's just sitting around waiting. All you can do is you can get on the phone with people. You can do these video calls. You can do this stuff. It doesn't, there's nothing like quite like being in person. As we all know, everybody knows there's a select grouping of people who much prefer these Zoom video chats over.
I'm sure they exist somewhere. I'm not sure where.
All of those people right now are like, this is my dream world. But there's nothing can replace actually being in person with people. But until then, ministry in its preparatory like state, in the way that we're planning to do even like that event or planning to do these trips or planning like for the bands, there's not a lot of time when you're touring to sit and write all the songs you need to write.
Ooh, yeah.
Right now, the Lord kind of just stopped everybody and goes, sit down and work on your craft.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of cool. when I toured, we didn't put out a ton of music because it takes so much time and we wanted to be on the road with people. We wanted to be in Lviv hanging out with you guys, or, you know, London or Tokyo or something. We wanted to be there with churches and people, but we didn't produce a lot of music. So I know the bands are writing songs, missionaries. There's a lot of people I know who've been working even on books, like writing books. I think we're going to come out of this season of like physical restraint with an explosive amount of like artistic things that point people to the gospel, you know, because it's just the right time for it. So bands are going to record music. Missionaries are going to publish books. Like, we're going to see things happening, but also we've been able to continue doing ministry in some really cool ways. Like, I'll lower my voice because I don't know. I live in
Duplex, you're fine,
so on the other side of my, well, I'm going to talk about my neighbors, but I've got to have some really cool conversations even in this about the gospel with the people that live around me. Mm-hmm. And those are conversations I've been hoping to have for years, you know, looking to have and aiming to have. And all of a sudden, sometimes because of this, because the world is screeching to a halt, some people and living on my street have even said, like, one of them the other day was like, I read in the Bible that God wants us to like turn to him when we have trouble or something. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly the conversation. It was like a week ago, but I was like, you're reading the Bible? What? Like, tell me more. He's like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out where to find peace in the middle of all this chaos. And I was like, oh, like, well, we know where to find that peace, the gospel. That's where we find the peace. So, and I've heard a ton of stories like that from other missionaries in the last like couple weeks, just highlighting some of those things. We've been doing this like big Zoom hangouts or Google hangouts with as many, almost like an open house, like as many of our missionary friends as want to get on.
Like, sweet.
We just set a time, 10 a.m. Pacific every Thursday. We're going to be on Google Hangouts. And some days we've had up to 40 missionaries on there, like laughing and telling stories about what God's doing in their cities. It's been stinking cool.
Oh, dude,
it's
awesome.
Like, it's really rough to be constrained, as I'm sure you know, as I'm sure you feel constrained in like, not only the method you can use, but I just want to be with people. I'm like the most extroverted you can be, I think. And I hate not getting to be around people, even if they're not people I know. Just stacked on top of each other in a coffee shop working. I love that. Like, 'cause you're just near people. And so I mean, I think that was a long rambly answer, but no, God's working fine in this time of like restraining our physical capability to go places and to interact with people. He's honing a lot of people. I think there's a lot of people I know who needed almost a reset in their, I don't know, their spiritual walk, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And I think he's like forcing us to be innovative and creative. Yeah. I think, do you know about the Global Leadership Summit?
I'm sure I've heard of a few of those kinds of things. So I'm sure. Which one are you talking about?
It used to be primarily out of that big church up in Chicago. What's the name of that church?
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're speaking of.
So it used to be mainly
Willow
out of
Creek?
That. Yes, Willow Creek. So it used to be mainly out of that church, but now the pastor of Life Church, can't believe I forgot his name. LifeChurch.tv. Yes, Craig Rochelle. Thank you.
I can't lie. I'm pulled it up on my other screen. So
okay. Good job. Yes. Ah, technology. All of my screens are occupied right now with like the stream and audio and questions and everything. So anyway.
I'll be a researcher.
Craig Rochelle, LifeChurch.tv. He's one of the main speakers now. He's like the MC basically. And it's this really cool 2-day event where they have speakers from all over the world, like titans of leadership. And it's not just Christians. It's also like, I think the CFO of Google was there, like CEOs from other companies, like just the, it, you know, and people that have Simon Sinek or however you say his last name, Senek, was there, and you know, just like principle after principle after principle. And where in the world was I going with this?
Being innovative. Being
innovative. Okay. Yes. Yes. So, Greg Rochelle talked about how his church went from single site to multi-site, and went from, you know, like how they record messages and all that kind of stuff. And it was it was the same kind of situation where you have limited resources and an opportunity.
Yeah.
And that limited resources actually pushes you forward and forces you to be more creative. And I know you said something about feeling constrained, and I do feel that. Like there's a lot of pressure right now, a lot of like emotional weight on us right now. That it's like you kind of have to look for the silver lining to stay sane type thing. I've talked
about
times of this.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I feel this urgency in a way of, if we don't take advantage of this, we will miss an opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that's where I want to go, you know.
grab the opportunity and run forward with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you write books. Like, are you getting a lot of writing done right now? Like
not a whole lot. Like
quick, change the subject.
No. The creative, I haven't gotten into that creative space yet. I'm not sure how else to describe it.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to go there. My second book is not finished. The first one, I'll go ahead and throw that in the description down below, you know, about public speaking.
Buy David's book.
Yes.
Thanks, especially if you're a missionary. Your book is a niche book if ever there was one. So there's probably only like 4,500 people in the world who even would use it, but they need it.
thank you very much. So my second book is going to be out about worship leading. I'm the worship leader at our church, and it's going to be about how to pick songs to put those into your worship library if you're just starting out. So something I struggled with at the beginning, wasn't really sure how to do it, and now I have 5 principles on how to do that. But I can do another episode about that sometime, I think.
That's awesome. So
I'm going to get back to you.
Dude, it's $0 on Kindle Unlimited to read your book.
Yep. So, yep.
Come on. There you go.
Thank you.
I'm just using my other screen again. finding the information.
So, what is this new normal for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for ways to connect. You know, how are y'all doing with that? What's hard about that?
I think it's the new normal is strange because it's the new normal for everyone. So it's not like one grouping of people who are suddenly having to adapt. The whole world is sitting here going, well, I guess we're on pause. And so, I think probably one of the hardest things about it, I'm sure it's the same answer everyone's giving. It's just being limited in your interactions.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the weirdest things about the new normal, my wife still is able to work. She works at a coffee shop that does a lot of their stuff to go. So they, in the state of Washington where I live, they allow those businesses to stay open if they maintain all these things. And there's like all these
rules. The world can't function without coffee. That's an essential.
Yeah,
service.
No, that, so. Yeah, she's as essential as it gets. Well, I think one of the weirdest things about this new normal is how fearful people are. And I'm not used to people being afraid. Like, I don't think anybody's really, there's certain groupings of people who maybe do feel this in their lives, but the other day I was walking down to the coffee shop. We're allowed to take a walk in Washington State as long as you're maintaining your distance and whatnot. I was walking down to the coffee shop, and this lady walking towards me. We live on a pretty busy street, like 2 lanes each way, pretty busy. It's like the main street in and out of town. I'm walking there. This lady comes towards me and steps all the way out into that crazy busy street and walks like 10 feet out, like to the other lane, and then comes back around me just to avoid me. Like, that was way more dangerous than any potential droplets I could have put in the air that would have made you sick. Like, she physically endangered herself to avoid me.
Wow, and yeah.
That, like, level of fear is kind of the new normal that I guess I'm telling that story to address. Like, this level of fear of other people being the new normal, I'm trying to figure out how to navigate that. How do you, as you cross people in the streets that used to like say hi and maybe even fist bump you on the way by, like, I don't know, maybe only three people have ever fist bumped me as they walked by me. I'm just using that as an example for physical interaction.
Dude, now, it's true. This is going to affect the way people normally greet each other, how people observe each other. If you're used to people now being in a mask, you can't see their face. You can't see their micro expressions or whatever that's called, you know, where the mouth goes up on this side, but not that side and all that kind of stuff. It's like, psychologically, this is a lot deeper than I think we realize. So
Agreed. I was thinking the other day about, like, we work in France a lot, and in France they do la bise, the kiss on the side cheek. Like, there, that's a cultural norm that is going to be disrupted for, I don't know, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. Will they ever do it again? Like entire cultures' breaks are slamming to a halt, and they're going to have to refigure out how to interact with each other. Now, I think I'll say this: I think that there is a grouping of people who will live with that fear for a long period of time once we're released from the social distancing measures. But I also think, on the other hand, we're going to see people rush out eager to respond. And I say that because the other day, a friend of ours, one of the baristas at that coffee shop my wife works at, she was getting married, and they were so sad because their wedding had to be disrupted. And I actually watched their wedding via Zoom. They just got married in their house with, you know, the pastor came and did it, and everybody, it was like 70 people on Zoom or whatever. Well,
good for them that they still went through with it, because some people are putting it off. Like, and
they're like, you know, we're not going to put this off. We're getting married. They were eager.
Yeah.
Well, afterwards at the coffee shop, they were going to come down to the coffee shop to, this is kind of cheesy, but also adorable. They were going to do some of their wedding photos. She's the roaster down there. So they wanted to do photos of her in her wedding dress, pulling shots and at the roastery and stuff, like, pretty epic. And there's nobody there, so they can do that. Well, one of the baristas there, the manager or something, organized, like, texted a bunch of her friends, said, "Hey, come down here. Like, we just want to, like, yell at them as they come and just surprise them." There was like 45 or 50 people showed up. Whoa. And they all were standing far away from each other, so it was really widespread. But you could tell this awkward tension where everybody was like kind of at the gate, like wanting to get out, wanting to like hug each other and like greet each other and like stand in a circle. And it was like, I that gave me a great hope, because I feel like a lot of the people I talk to are going to emerge. I talk to a lot of people who are struggling with fear through this, but at the same time, there's probably a much greater portion of the population eager to just run and hug their friends.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to just be like, forget it, world, here we go. So
I'm really looking forward to that. You know, that I'm hoping that, I don't know when this is going to blow over. Obviously, you know, they're talking about second wave and all this other crazy stuff, you know, but at the same time, I hope it's done by July, August, whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so then we can have this huge barbecue and have everybody over.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like that's going to be so cool and just so neat.
Big old parties. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. It is. Yeah. I think if it's reshaped anything, it's given people a knowledge that they want to be around people, you know? Yeah. Or affirm, like, oh, maybe I've been using this introvert mask as a reason to avoid people. Like, actually, I realize I need people like to survive and enjoy community or whatever you want to call it. So
yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's a good idea to like, I don't know. It's pushed our church towards, like intentionally calling, intentionally writing, intentionally checking up on people that maybe we wouldn't have before, you know,
yeah.
and, And so that's a push towards community even. So
somebody wrote me a real letter the other day, like a physical letter that showed up in my post office or my post office, my mailbox.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, this is the world is going back to caveman days. It was awesome.
Yeah. It was great. Oh, dude, that's amazing. That it's so funny to think that that's like, that would be my reaction too, for sure. Like, but I remember when I was a kid, like I sent letters to my friends all the time, you know, and then yeah. The world changed. Yeah.
Now I'm like, shoot, is proper? Do I have to write back? Like, do I?
Should I just call?
How do I even buy a stamp? I don't know. Yeah. Great. Yeah. I love it.
Very cool.
So the world may be changing quickly, but I don't think it's going to stay that way forever. I think people are eager to get back to normal. So
for sure. So I'm hoping that, you know, as our audience grows, that a lot more missionaries are going to be watching this and then also sharing that with their friends back home. How would you, let's go kind of two different versions of the same question. So how would you encourage first missionaries on the field right now? Do you have a message for them if they're feeling ineffective or lonely or like just can't get this whole online missions thing, just like doesn't seem to be working right now?
Yeah, man, I've talked to a few of those people this last couple weeks. I guess it's dragging on now. We've been doing this for a while. I would just encourage them. I'll pinpoint this onto a specific grouping of people because I can think of some conversations I've had for all the musicians. And now I'm generalizing this. This would be for all the missionaries that I could encourage with this, but I'm using this example of the bands I work with. As a musician, you have one thing you know how to do that effectively lets you go share the gospel. Music is the tool we use to get out of our houses and into other people's lives. Well, as soon as live music is not an option, you start questioning everything. Like, well, God called me to that. I was sure of it, but did I make the wrong choice? Should I have been doing that? Should I have not done that? All of a sudden, the moments of clarity that God, like when God calls you to something and it's clear and it's visible and you feel like this, what you're called to in moments of like, surety and light don't change in moments of darkness. Unless God calls, changes the calling, you're still called to the same thing God's called you to. So don't abandon your calling because the circumstances restrain your calling for a moment. Like, and I think talking to musicians, it's really easy because they're like, well, should we just find other jobs? Should we do this other thing? What should we plan? How do we plan for this? I'm like, God, unless God clearly speaks to you and says, I've got something new for you, then if he hasn't changed it, like walk it out, wait it out, just continue in the calling God has for you. So if you're a missionary struggling right now with wondering if you should even be in the city you're in, or if God's called you to the place you're at, or if maybe you made wrong choices, like there has to have been some moments of clarity in which you knew God was calling you, God was directing your path, and you stepped to where you are. Don't retreat from that because the circumstances become difficult. Like, God, unless God is clearly calling you out, if God's calling you to someplace else and you're being disobedient to that call, then that's disobedience, and that's between you and the Lord. So, man, if you are a missionary or a pastor or any person in ministry right now sitting somewhere and God has called you clearly to that spot, then you're where you're supposed to be. Just wait for him to reveal what happens next, you know, until he calls you otherwise, just stay the course.
That's good. That's really
that
good.
That would be what I would hope to encourage anybody with.
And actually this past week, it's good that you said that, like, God's working a lot through these podcasts in my own heart, you know. I've been reminded so many times of the verse that God used to take me to Ukraine, which is Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. I'm going to read it real quick.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know it. It's like one of those super popular verses and everything. But I'm sure everybody else knows it that's watching. But now the Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. So you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And obviously, I'm not Abram, you know, I'm not going to be like the father of some great nation or whatever. But applying that to myself, applying that to myself in another way, like I want to be a blessing and I need to be trusting God to take care of me in this new promised land of Ukraine where I am. And there's like so many different situations. Like if you remember when Abraham, he was burying his wife, Sarah. And he goes to buy this field that he where he wants to have the plot of land where he buries her, or the cave or whatever. And like the guy who's selling the land literally rips him off, like completely. Mm-hmm. Like that was way too much money, and he's just like, okay, whatever, you know, because he knows those verses. I think, because he knows those verses, and he says like, God's going to take care of me. And there, that was one of the things that I was super scared of when I first came, was people ripping me off, because I heard all these kinds of stories of like pickpockets and all that kind of stuff, you know, but God's reminding me over and over, because there's been a couple of situations that have come up where somebody could this week. And I've even seen his hand directing and nudging, you know, into the right direction where, it's okay, David. I've got to figure it out. Just keep on going. I'll make you a blessing. I'll bless you. I'll take care of you. You know.
And God's sovereign. He knew you'd get ripped off in the land he called you to. Like, that's, he's probably sufficient to provide.
Yeah, not probably. I have to, in that situation, I have to trust him even more where he's going to provide for the money that was lost or whatever else that happens. So,
Is it that that's a fine line I hear a lot of people specifically in ministry talk about. They're like, well, is that good stewardship to make that decision? Or was that like, did I get ripped off? Was that honoring like what the donor's money should have been used for? Like, there's a lot of tension that specifically missionaries live in there. Like, well, there's like almost a fear of telling someone that they got ripped off because they're embarrassed that they used the money. That you didn't get as good a deal they could have, and their supporters gave them that money to buy that car or whatever. Like, there's so many of those things where the enemy is just lying and just coming at people, specifically missionaries in this degree, going, oh, you could have done that better. You should have done that better. You should have done that. Like, that condemnation that he tries to use, even in those littlest things, that I think missionaries have a different weight of carrying than anybody who just has a job. They're like, oh, if I got ripped off, like, it's just money I earned. Like, that's an interesting just thought to kind of tackle. But yeah, God's sovereign. He's put you there. He's, if he's called you to that land, if he's dropped you in there with Genesis there, Genesis 12, then stay there, be there. Like, be where God's called you to be. Being anywhere else would be the disobedient part. And that would be lame. I don't even have a good word for it.
No, that's a good word for it. That's a great word for it.
It'd be really lame to be not where God called me to be.
So what would you like, if there's like a missions coordinator, if there was a person that in a local church that has thought about supporting missionaries but they haven't yet, or if there's like, you know, the people back home, you know, because everywhere is a mission field, but back home, how would you, what could you say to those people to minister to missionaries?
To minister to missionaries.
Yes.
Just stop stalling. Start talking to them. Be involved in some way, even if it's the simplest ways. How many times have you gotten even just an email or a text from someone back home, and you're like, that literally was all it took to encourage you in a way that maybe even a $100 check wouldn't have. You know, so many churches that we work with, that's part of what we've been doing the last couple of years, is going around. I'm like, if I was going to like self-assign a job description, I'm basically looking for missionaries who don't know they're missionaries yet. Like, how do you engage people in the mission of Christ in such a way, whether it be at home or whether it be finding a place to get them somewhere else, get them on the road to somewhere else? I love doing that and seeing people discover that God has called them to do something or to go somewhere. So I get to have some of these conversations with churches that maybe have never sent a missionary, have no context for how to send a missionary, or they're like, there's some we've even worked with who are a little fearful of if we send them and we don't support them perfectly, like, that's on us, so let's just not send anybody. You know, there's like,
and you're never gonna do anything perfectly in this life anyway.
No, but if God's called someone, get them there. And if God has, if you have sent a missionary or work with missionaries or in partnership with them, communication, this may be oversimplifying it, but in a Jesus mission, we've really tried to be intentional, and we drop the balls all the time on things like this, because it's so easy for things to go unseen or sight unseen or unnoticed, or for time to just pass. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, I haven't talked to that person in 8 weeks because life just happened. Well, what we've really realized through a lot of years being, I'm getting to where I'm going, I promise. It's a rambly statement, dude, but there's
good.
A lot.
It's good stuff. We're getting to the meat here, bro. So don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Good. I look back at all those years living on the road and staying in missionaries' homes and sitting up till 2 a.m. talking about like the things that like make it really hard to be where they are. And all over those years, I literally, there's days I'd ask God, like, why am I doing this? Like, what benefit does this, what comes of this? Like, sure, we're touring, we're sharing the gospel, that side. But of all that, like, relational, sitting around in people's homes, sitting at coffee shops, talking to missionaries, hearing their stories, hearing how they got there, hearing the struggles that they've had along the way. I'm like, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? Now I look back, I realize that was basically like 15 years of research and development on how to send missionaries.
Dude,
because
yeah.
I got to sit in their houses and hear the things that took them home from the field. You know, hear those conversations of things that could have been prevented that were bringing them home. And so as we've built like an administrative team, even this is more of just the Jesus mission, like back end infrastructure stuff we don't necessarily talk about outwardly all the time. We really have come down to this. We're going, this is why I'm addressing this. If you're a church sending a missionary, we've assessed or determined or whatever word you want to use.
Yeah, yeah.
We've realized missionaries that are given adequate care, connectivity, and consistency. It's a little alliteration there.
Boom, boom,
care,
boom.
Connectivity, and consistency is mm-hmm. the lens through which we look at everything we do. In the way that we help send a missionary, we're trying to be super consistent, because consistency gives the missionary confidence to stand on those things so that they can continue walking out what God's called them to do. And that care could be literally anything from just a text message to a care package to actual support, like fiscal support, saying, we believe in what you're doing, here's $1,000 or here's $5. That's a method of caring for you as a missionary where you are. And so if you're a local church looking for how to do that, don't sit around wondering how to do it and not do anything. Just start conversations, get on the phone, have video chats. If you can, obviously this summer might not be the easiest for that, but if you can, go be there. If you only fly there for a day, show up in their town, let David show you his favorite coffee shops, hear his stories about like how God's worked in those coffee shops, conversations at that table where blah, blah, blah. Like, as you do that, you're going to understand better how to care for a missionary. And then the connectivity part, we just really stand on that, going, if they're connected, which is why we've started doing these like Thursdays, 10 o'clock in the afternoon or morning Pacific time, we do a missionary Google Hangout, like literally just connecting people. And so if you, I get, this is something I could ramble on for a good hour or two, because I get so excited about how we figure out how local churches can support and send their missionaries, or just moms and dads, or any person sending a missionary. Like, just be intentional, if anything. Like, I guess that's the encouragement to them. Be intentional to get into conversations, be intentional to send something, be intentional to go there. Like, it comes with a high cost to go visit a missionary. Like, gotta literally spend money, your time, and people are like, well, I could be of more value just sending them the $2,000 I'd spend instead of going there for 3 days to visit them and spending all the flight and hotel and this and that. Like, I know some missionaries that would say, keep your like, spend the money, come visit me. I'd rather have you here in my life for 3 days than have the $2,000.
Well, yeah, dude, every time my pastor has come in from Indianapolis or there's a couple of other folks that it's been oddly, well, it's providential, you know?
Yeah,
When Pastor Bill flew over from Indy, it was just always exactly the day during some crisis that I needed to talk to him, you know? Come visit.
There's no substitute for visiting a missionary. Buy plane tickets. They're going to be really cheap coming up here pretty quick.
Yeah.
Get on a plane and go see your people. Go be with them. That's again, the gospel is relational. So we should be like, be in relationships, push each other forward. That's why Paul says not to give up meeting together. That's the admonishment to the church, right? Continue being together. So go visit your missionaries, people. Amen. Visit your missionaries.
Amen. How can we pray for you guys personally, but also, for a Jesus mission? So
yeah,
for you and your wife, and then also for the Jesus mission.
Man, thank you. Yeah, for me and my wife, we've been really blessed right now to continue being able to work. Well, she's continuing to work. I'm still doing my work, just more like this. But the enemy definitely even tries to, those same encouragements I give, you know this, you're a pastor, you know, you encourage someone in this, but the enemy's kicking the crap out of you at the same exact time with the same thing. There's literally days, even throughout this, where I'm like, what was the point of everything we've ever done? Like, you know, all that work, and now we're just sitting still. Like, what, did I make missteps? So just honestly, if you could just be praying that the enemy would have no voice into what we're doing, that we would recognize the voice of the enemy and the lies and the tricks of the enemy, like just for wisdom to identify those and not fall prey to the enemy's tricks. not like to over spiritualize it here and say like the enemy's always like, he is actively warring against us. So yeah, it's not even an over spiritual.
He prowls around like a roaring lion, yeah, seeking those that he can devour. And he wants to devour you. He wants to devour me. And he's
100%
seeking, especially like when we're the people that God has charged to bring hope to other people, mm-hmm. Who else does he want to take that hope away from? But those that are trying to bring hope to other people.
Yep.
For sure, it's
a massive, I heard it said really well. We often talk about the spiritual life through the lens of Paul used a lot of track references, like run the race, blah, blah, you know, finish the race. The way the enemy's working, it's a lot more like this is a physical contact sport. Track is like almost like you're just running, you're trying to beat your better time. There's a resistance against that. Yes. But I look at it, I'm like, it's a lot more like rugby or football, where it's like there's an active defense strategizing against our offense. So when we vocalize an intent to go into a nation to preach the gospel, all of a sudden the enemy's defense is going to shift to work against that. And so pray for us to have wisdom, me and my wife specifically, pray for us to have wisdom to know how to advance with that defense pushing back, because that we need that. We need that wisdom. We need that wisdom in this time. And even as we're pushing other missionaries and churches and stuff forward right now, like for us to have wisdom in how to encourage them to just be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's saying in those moments. Like that's the stuff that I think we need prayer for. And then for a Jesus mission, obviously, Luke 10:2 is where Jesus says that there's workers for the, like to pray for workers to come to the harvest, right? So we actually have on our phones an alarm set for 10:02 a.m. in which we pray, even if it's just one breath, if it's just, Lord, raise up somebody today. And then we continue on the conversation we're in. My phone alarm goes off, 10:02. If I'm in a coffee shop, someone's like, that's a weird time for your alarm to go off. I'm like, actually, it's because I make a moment to pray every day for workers to come into the harvest. I've actually had some conversations with people who've like, wow, that's really cool. I've actually kind of thought of being a missionary before. And like, it led to really cool, like conversations where God used that moment. So pray specifically, because not for the sake of building a brand of a Jesus mission. I don't give two craps about that. This is a kingdom work. So would you join us in praying for God to raise up new workers? I think that is our number one prayer. And I'm not even kidding you, dude. When we've been intentional, I can literally notice now, because we've been intentional with this for probably about a year. If I turn off that alarm on accident or something, and like we stop praying that prayer for a couple weeks, like as soon as we resume it, we start getting conversations and phone calls and people coming, going, I've thought about this. I've thought about doing this. There is an authoritative power to praying, specifically the imperative of Jesus in that, for us to pray for workers to raise up for the harvest. Mm-hmm. Something happens when we're doing that prayer. So
yeah, he hears.
He could be praying. He hears and he stirs in people's hearts. He's doing it now. He's stirring people and drawing them to the mission field to live on mission. And so I would say that's less about like, and pray for a Jesus mission, but I want to be there to find those people that when they do sense that calling, that maybe we can use the infrastructure we've built to help push them out or just get them out there quick. Not like unreasonably quick, but let's get them to where God's called them to be. So maybe that would be my ask, would that you guys would join us in praying for the Lord to raise up new workers. And even if you make it a daily prayer, I think we're going to see, specifically as soon as this COVID-19 thing's over, there's going to be like, I keep getting this picture of like, this is kind of cheesy. Other countries might not get this, but in America, we do bull riding. Not we. I've never done bull riding. But
you're talking to a Texas boy, so I know what that is. Yeah. It's all right.
You know that tension where right before they open that gate, like there's this built-up pressure, and as soon as the gate is open, like that bull is going. I feel like that's kind of what's going to happen with when, as soon as like the borders are reopened and the countries lower their guard, I feel like the gospel is going to come bursting out, because there's going to be a lot of people whose spiritual maturity elevates in this season as they're spending more time in the word intentionally. There's going to be people God's called throughout this time while they're sitting home praying more than they used to. We're going to hopefully see a more spiritually mature church emerge, bursting at the seams, ready to go share the gospel. And so pray with us that God would raise up those people and that he would direct them to where he's calling them, and that we can just help push the church and push the missionaries and push people called to advance the kingdom of God forward. That would be my prayer request for mm-hmm. you and for anybody that's watching this. Just even set your alarm, pray with us 10:02 every day in the morning, set your alarm with us, and let's just take a moment, literally the briefest prayer. Lord, raise up somebody to the harvest today. When Amen. The church is praying that actively, we're going to see the kingdom of God explode on earth.
yeah. And he'll use those people that are praying that prayer. You know, one of the sermons, I think I've heard like two or three pastors preach on that passage, mm-hmm. you know, and the next verse, I'm not sure if it's in that gospel, it might be in a different gospel, but the very next verse is, you know, that Jesus sends them out, the 12 or the 72,
I could ramble about this all day. I just get excited.
It's all right, bro. I want to ask, and I'm going to add to the list of prayer requests before we pray, but how can people, churches, individuals, how can they support your ministry?
Yeah. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Let's just, we're all missionaries here, at least in this conversation. Like financially, doing kingdom work costs money. There's a real tangible physical need to doing kingdom work. And we're not ashamed to ask people to give to the work that God's called us to do. Jesus himself lived off of support. If you look in Luke 8, like that's one of those texts when we take people out for the very first time and we start talking about even raising support. Jesus was living off of the support of those around him. So if it was good enough for Jesus, we should be able to walk in those footsteps. We, as well as you, David, need people's involvement financially to continue doing the work we're doing. And so if you want to give to a Jesus mission, we, this year, part of what we do is, like, in caring for missionaries, we organize gatherings for them, and we invite them all together. We do all these different things. We try and be able to meet emergency needs when they come up, stuff like that. We really need, always a need for cash flow. So if you wanted to support helping us support missionaries and send missionaries, and we have some of our missionary care team whose role is, like, when there's a trauma or when there's a situation that comes up, there's people that will get on the next flight out of town and get to their side within 12 hours. Like, but that oftentimes costs money to respond to crisis like that. So if you want to be a part of supporting a Jesus mission, you can just go to ajesusmission.org. And it's really clear. We don't make it hard for you to find the big donate buttons in the same way that you probably try and make it as easy as possible. The quicker we can get money to the field, the more effective that money becomes.
Dude, just as a missionary, like, knowing that you guys are able to do that, and that, you know, that the body of Christ, the local body of Christ, makes it so that you guys are able to do that, that you can pick up the phone and say, hey, we have, like, emergency right now, we need help.
Yeah.
And that you guys can come out, like, that means the world. So praise the Lord. So
yeah.
We'll definitely put it in the description for how to support you guys.
Thank you. Yeah. You can also obviously support by prayer, but I'm going to assume if you're watching this, you might be at the level of spiritual maturity that I shouldn't have to ask you to pray for the people doing the work of the mission. like if you are supporting missionaries, if you are a believer in Christ, then you should be praying for your missionaries and praying for those people God's put around you who are called to the mission field. So yeah, pray for a Jesus mission, pray for David and his wife, pray for all the missionaries we know that are working around the world, but then again, be intentional. Do something more than pray. Either go visit them or send them the money you would use to go visit them so that they can continue the work God's called them to. When I started out, I was pretty fearful to ask people for money. Now I have zero fear to look someone in the eyes and say, this is the most important story in the history of the world, and these are people who are telling it. And this is literally transforming lives. And the only way we continue, God is sovereign and he will provide where he needs and where he wants and how he wants. But why would you want to sit off the bench when you could be a part of this? Because we're seeing people's eternal destination transformed when they hear the hope of the gospel. So we need to raise 10 grand so we can get to Ukraine and come hang out with you guys and be there and help proclaim it, you know? So yeah, that's how you can get involved, thejesusmission.org.
Sweet, man. Can I pray for you now?
Please.
Let's do it. Ah, Lord, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you for Andy and the work that you're doing through him and even through our relationship, Lord. It's been so cool to get to know him from afar through technology, through WhatsApp and through Zoom. I pray that you bless his work, he and his wife, and thank you, Lord, that you have blessed them with the ability to work during this season that they haven't become and all that kind of stuff. And I also want to pray for anybody that's watching that has lost their job or that has a pause on their job.
Provide for them.
Give finances that you would give a way to work even during this time.
Yes.
I pray for those days when Andy and his wife are maybe wondering, Lord, what's the point? Or, you know, like, just help them to recognize the difference between the voices, your voice and the enemy's voice, and so that they would be able to speak truth like Jesus did in the wilderness when he confronted Satan. To speak the word into those situations and to say, no, this is what God says, and we're going to trust him.
Yeah.
So I pray for those times when it feels like the struggle, like he said that, you know, that it's like a football match or a rugby match. Lord, give wisdom, give them the right path on how to advance. And we praise you, Lord, that you said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Come on.
Because you planted your church on the rock and you are that rock. And so, Lord, please help us to continue to advance, to have that attitude, because gates defend, they don't attack. And so we want to move forward, Lord. And we pray for workers, God. We pray for more people to come alongside a Jesus mission to bring more support, but we also pray for more people to go out to become missionaries, especially when this quarantine ends. Lord, I think we could use a couple more workers here at our church, you know, and I don't know how that would work out and who would come. But Lord, please send workers into
the harvest. Raise them up, God.
Yes. We pray for also, we talked about spiritual maturity during this time, Lord, for anybody who's watching that's maybe struggling with that, that's struggling with, you know, time to read the Bible or to pray. Lord, I struggle with that sometimes. Please help us, Lord, to use this time to take advantage of this time, to get closer to you, to dig deeper into prayer, into your word, into knowing you.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you for your grace to us. Amen.
Amen. Dude, thanks for the time to be here with you, man.
Yeah, you too, dude. You pumped me up, bro. Seriously. So I was really looking forward to this conversation for a while.
Me too.
So, yeah.
When you texted me the other day and asked about doing this, I was stoked. I was sad it had to be like 5 days from then, but I'm really glad.
Praise the Lord.
Really glad.
All righty. It's good talking to you, man. Say hey to your wife for us and God bless.
I will.
You know?
See ya. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Good deal. Bye-bye.
Bye.